Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Avodah Zarah Chav Ches, we begin on Chav Zayin Amud Beis, two lines off the bottom. So yesterday, we learned that one should not avail himself to medical treatment offered by a Goyish doctor for concern of his of the patient's safety. Now, according to Rav Yehuda, that applied even to a minor, treatment, afilu rivda de kosilta, because, you know, anything can lead to complications and danger. But Rabba, Bar Bachana today, quotes Rav Yechanan, a bit differently. Only if it's something which is deemed serious, if he's experiencing a critical illness, something which is life-threatening, then you have to be more careful and not engage in a goyish doctor. But otherwise, it's fine. Amar Rabba Bar Bachan, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, kol maka, any wound, any condition, which is deemed life-threatening. In fact, it justifies for chilul Shabbos. One can desecrate Shabbos, do malacha. In order to treat this condition, that indicates, that's a sign of its criticality. Likewise, you will not visit a Goyish doctor for that purpose, ein misrapin mehen, for concern of safety. So if it's a critical condition, something which would theoretically justify Chilul Shabbos, so you never take that condition to a Goyish doctor. Yigadamri, some had a slightly different version of this formula, very similar but slightly different. Amar Rabba, Bar Bachana, Amar Yechanan, Kol Maka Shel Cholo, any internal wound, internal condition, as opposed to something superficial and external, something internal is deemed dangerous, and therefore, Ein Mishrapin Mehen, you can't accept treatment from a Goy on that. And of course, as we learned the other day, this would not apply typically nowadays when the doctors are certified, they're considered Reife Mumcha, in which case his reputation would hang on the line. Why would he jeopardize his career and avail himself to a malpractice suit? So in this case it's different, but he was speaking about, you know, a private healer. You never know what he's up to. Ein Mishrapin Mehen. Now, any difference between these formulas, whether it's contingent upon Chilul Shabbos or contingent upon Cholol, meaning internal? Mai B'nayu. Ikki B'nayu, we have a situation where it's deemed external but still very critical and would justify Chilul Shabbos because it is considered life-threatening. Ikki B'nayu gav hayad v'gav harekel, the back of the hand. For some reason, that's considered a very sensitive area. V'gav harekel, the top of the foot. Damar v'adabar mas, damar rav. Any wound prevalent on those areas. Gav hayad v'gav harekel, if you find something present over there, harihen kemaka shel cholol, it is deemed like an internal condition with respect to chilul Shabbos, u'mechallin aleinus haShabbos. So if you're following the first rule, chilul Shabbos, so then you don't go to the guy for that. But in terms of the second formula, so then it wouldn't apply here because it's not inside, it's on the outside. And Rashi says, even if the guy is going to, you know, play some sort of game and apply some poisonous, some sort of formula that would, some sort of ointment that would actually further hurt the condition, well, you'll see it. If you see it deteriorating, you'll clean it off and wash it off. And so that would allay that concern. Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tov Yamarav Kol Maka Shetzricha Oymed. He says, regarding Chilul Shabbos, if it's a condition that needs to be assessed, it's deemed serious enough to have doctors evaluate and assess whether he'll die or not, so meaning it is some sort of really precarious situation, that's a sign of its seriousness, and therefore Mechallelin Aleis HaShabbos, one can be Mechallel Shabbos to save this person. Amar Rav Shemen Bar Abba Rabbi Yechanan, V'hai, this condition called a Ishta, Ishta is like a fire, it's a fever, it's mirta which generates heat, very strong heat, a very strong fever, Kemaka Shechalal Dami, is deemed like a Maka Shechalal, and justifies treatment even on Shabbos. Mechalal neles haShabbos. Meichan makash ocholol. Now, what's deemed internal and what's deemed external? Pirush Rabbi Abi explained, from the lips inward. Now, what about something related to the teeth? Boy Rabbi Eliezer, kachi vishini mai, the internal teeth, the inside of the outside teeth, the kachi is the back, vishini is the front. Mai, what's the status of those? Meaning, if there's some sort of condition on the teeth, right? Shall we deem it a makosh al chalal, serious enough for chilul Shabbos? My, given that kushininu, since teeth are hard material, bone material, so then it should not be taken so seriously. Kemaka devroi damu, so it's comparable to an external, superficial type of condition. Idilma, or you can say, given the gavoi kaimi, since the teeth are situated inside the mouth. So any condition associated with the teeth, some sort of serious toothache, kemaka shocholodom, is comparable like the other internal conditions, in which case it can be treated on Shabbos. Amar Bayit Hoshma, let's try to prove it from a Mishnah. Mishnah Mesechas Shabbos, hachoshesh b'shinov. He has a toothache. Lo yigameh ben esachoymetz, he can't swoosh some vinegar around his teeth to try to subside the pain. Because the halacha is that on Shabbos, not only can't you do an actual malacha, unless, it's bekuach nefesh, you can't even apply any remedy. The midrabanan were concerned that he might be drawn to prepare the ingredients, which would involve grinding, which is a malacha of toichen. So typically, unless it's a real serious condition, we don't engage in remedial activities on Shabbos at all. So this toothache doesn't justify the vinegar treatment. Yeah, because that's only cheshesh. It's a slight ache. Cheshesh hu deloy. Apparently, because it's a minor discomfort. Ha-koyv le-tuba, but let's say he's really having a serious toothache, hurting him a lot. Koyv le-tuba. Shaper dummy. Then you would allow refuah on Shabbos, apparently. A toothache, a serious toothache, despite it being on the tooth, which is of strong and durable material, but since it's inside, it's called chalal, and it justifies even on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, no, Dilma, perhaps Tana, our Tana of this Mishnah, who used the word choshesh, which we assumed as a reference to a minor ache. No, hecha de koiv letuba, where the fellow is really hurting. Choshesh nami karli, he also calls that choshesh. So even though it's a serious toothache, perhaps it would not justify chilul Shabbos because it's on the tooth, which is deemed durable and non-threatening. Toshma, it comes another raya from a story. So again, the question is, a serious toothache, is that considered makash al chalal, something internal, deemed serious enough to allow remedial activity on Shabbos and even chilul Shabbos? So let's see. Toshma, Rabbi Yechanan chash, Rabbi Yechanan himself experienced a tooth condition called betzavdina. So he experienced this tzavdina illness, and he found this healer, non-Jewish woman, who was going to heal him. Azal gaba. So he went over like Dahima Trenisa to this noble woman, this healer, who had the perfect potion of the. So she prepared and applied for him chamsha on Thursday, gomal Shabbat on Friday, this remedy. Amala. So after Friday's treatment, he turned to her and he says, what am I going to do tomorrow? I'm stuck. I'm tied up. I give shiurim. L'machar mai. What am I going to do tomorrow? Rashi says, the Tamidim come to listen to my shiur. I'm not going to be able to come back to you tomorrow. What am I going to do? Armali, she says, no, it's just a two-day treatment. You're done. You don't need any more tomorrow. Lo itzrichas. Well, he says, you never know. Itzrichna mai. Suppose I do need more. What am I going to do? Amr, so she says, you know what, I'll make a deal. I'll reveal to you the components that make up this potion, the secret ingredients, if you swear to me that you'll keep it a secret. Ishtabali, swear to me, deloy megalis, that you will not reveal the secret to anybody. Okay, ishtabala. So he swore to her, but listen to his words. He said, lelaka Yisrael, loy megalina. So literally, it can be translated as, understood as, I will not reveal it. Lelakai Yisrael to Hashem. Le'gamalim. Let me go. I'm not going to reveal it to him. Now, that she thought, she understood that he was swearing by the name of Hashem that I will not reveal it to anybody. In any case, so she fell for that ruse. Galilei. Okay, so she revealed to him the secret medicine, the top secret Coca-Cola recipe. But guess what? Lamocha, the next day on Shabbos, during the shir, Nafak, he went out, Dorsha Bepirka. He revealed it in the shir, in the class. He told everybody the refuah for this Maka. Asks the Gemara, but he swore that he wouldn't. Vayishtabalo. Yeah. Lalaka, the Yisroel Lamgalina. Because if you pay close attention to his wording, all he said was, I'm not going to be Megala. I'm not going to reveal it to the God of the Jews. But to his nation, I will. I will amei Yisroel, but to his nation, Megalina, I'll reveal it. So technically, he did not violate his oath. But there's still a Chilul Hashem, because she perceived at the time that he was promising and committing to keep it a secret. So in her mind, he was violating his oath. V'yikach Chilul Hashem, it's a Chilul Hashem. The answer is the Goli Lomikara. Right away when he swore, and she revealed the secret to him, he turned around and said, by the way, I never meant to swear. I only swore regarding Hashem, but not regarding the public. So right away, there was no room for... there wasn't even a moment in time that she would suspect him of violating his oath, because he explained it to her right away. Now, why, in fact, did he reveal it? So some learn because, really, she should have publicized it. It's something so serious, something so beneficial to the community at large. She had no right to keep it a secret. Apparently, she wasn't able to treat everybody, and there seems to be a... seemed to have been a pretty common malady, this tzavdina, right? So it wasn't right for her to keep it a secret. And that's what he felt. It was justified. Everybody should know, and it will save lives. And as long as it's no Chilul Hashem, because he had explained to her what he was doing in advance, on Friday he already told her, look, you fell for the ruse. Interestingly, what happened to her? There's a Yerushalmi, the Karban Eda explains in Yerushalmi that she converted. She became a Giyoris. Why? Because she was so impressed by Rabbi Yechanan's honesty and integrity, because you would think that he would use it to make money. Such a valuable piece of information, right? Magic potion for Tzavdina, imagine, right? And he didn't look to make a dime off it. He was doing it l'shem shemaim, to be mezakas rabban, to protect the oilam. So she realized this nation is something special. Ru'uya uma zuli davikba, says the Karban Eda in the Yerushalmi. And she was so taken by his self-sacrifice, by his dedication to his people, that she connected. She joined Klal Yisrael. Okay, in any case, back to our topic here. What do we see? Alma kamakash shechol damya. The fact that he sought to do it even on Shabbos, if necessary, apparently it's something considered really critical. Makash shechol. It's deemed an internal condition. So there's the answer to our question. That a serious toothache is considered critical and life-threatening. Kimaka shechol damya. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak. No, this isn't your typical toothache. This is tzavdina, a more critical condition. Shani tzavdina. Tzavdina is really something to be taken seriously more than any other type of toothache. Hoylo maslo apeh, because although it initiates in the teeth, in one's mouth, v'goymer b'mnei me'ayim, but it spills over and spreads into the intestine area, in which case it would certainly be considered pikuach nefesh, b'bnei mi'ayim, it can affect the intestines. Ma'i simani. So what's the sign? How do you know that in fact this toothache isn't just your standard toothache, it's considered the tzavdina condition? So you see if the teeth are bleeding. Rami midi bekachi, you place something, some food or something between the teeth. Umaisi dam beidari, there's blood protruding between the mi beidari, from the rows of teeth. Basically, the teeth are bleeding. Mimai havi, How does this situation come about? What triggers this condition? Mikriri kriri dechiti, by eating something, some wheat food, and he ate it when it was very cold in the winter, so that can cause this. Or umechamimi chamimi desaari, or if it's a barley food, very hot in the summer, or it can come umeshiyuri kasa daharsana, leftovers from the kasa daharsana. This is a dish made of fried fish with flour. So leftovers, which stayed overnight, also has this detrimental effect if eaten. My Abdalay. Oh, so where's the secret? What exactly was it that she was doing? What was the secret recipe? Amar ab achabre de rabba. Sounds pretty simple. Me so'er. So'er is sourdough used to... So this me so'er soaked in water, that liquid, is called me so'er, v'shemen, zayis, and olive oil, melach, and salt. Mix it together, you apply it onto the teeth, and you're good to go. Umar barav ashi omar. He says it was a different recipe. Mishcha da avza, fat from a goose. Begad for the avza, applied to the teeth using a goose feather. Amar Abaye. So Abaye says, these didn't really work for me. Ano avdi kulu, when I had this tzafdina condition, I tried all these formulas to no avail. V'lo yitzoy, it didn't heal me. Ah, until I tried something else. Amar li avtaye, this Arab merchant told me his own secret remedy. Aisi kishyaisa dezeisa. So he told me like this. Get a hold of kishyaisa pits, dezeisa of olives, so olive pits, dulemol tilsa, which hadn't grown to the to a third of their growth. So really young, unripe olives. So the pits of those, v'kalinu amorachatan, burn them up, amorachatan, a new shovel. And take the ashes and apply it to your teeth. V'davak be didari, and paste it onto the, apply it onto the beidari, the rows of your teeth, all the way inside. Avdi hachi v'tzoy, I tried it, and it worked. Asks the Gemara. Okay, so we settled the, Chil Shabbos question, but what about accepting medical treatment from a guy? How did Rabbi Yechanan avail himself to this Gaisha woman? Rabbi Yechanan, how could Rabbi Yechanan do that? V'amar Rabba, v'amrachan, Rabbi Yechanan, if it's a serious condition, you can't go to a guy for refuah, right? Rabbi Yechanan himself told us, kol makasha mechalalin, aleas ha-Shabbos, any situation which is deemed important enough to justify work on Shabbos, ein mesrapin mehen, you can't go to a guy for that. For concern for safety concerns. Answers the Gemara, Adam Chashev Shani. Rabbi Yechanan was a prominent figure, a very well known Jewish leader, respected by the government. So nobody would mess with him, nobody would threaten him. So he had that sort of protection. Asks the Gemara, Rabbi Avo. We have another Amora, Rabbi Avo, who's also a very prominent leader, the Adam Chashev, Rashi brings that the people from the royal household would adore him and would respect him. And look what happened to him. V'ramale Yaakov Minoah. There was this fellow Yaakov Minoah. Oh, we know him already from the other day, right? He was a Yiddish renegade. And he was a healer, apparently. So he applied some sort of sama, some sort of potion, shake on his thigh when he had, to treat some sort of ailment on Rabbi Avo. And it turned out to be a poisonous potion. V'loy, and if not for Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, who were right there and noticed what was happening, noticed that his situation was deteriorating due to this poisonous potion, the lechachu, they licked off, they wiped off l'shake, his thigh, of Rabbi Avo. If not for that, he would have been in grave danger. Paskel l'shake, this poisonous acid would have just cut off his, amputated his foot. Apparently, even Adam Chashev is not protected from these problematic healers. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Roifa Mumcha Havra. The woman who treated Rabbi Yochanan was a Roifa Mumcha. She was an expert, she was a career woman, in which case, that provides deterrent against foul play. Asks the Gemara, all the same with Rabbi Avo. This fellow was a career doctor. The Rabbi Avo, Nami Roifa Mumcha Havra. Answers the Gemara, you're right, but Shani Rabbi Avo is in a different situation, because as Rashi brings, he would actually challenge the renegades and debate them with, you know, regarding Pesukim. So they felt threatened by him, and they were always trying to, you know, ensnare him and get back at him. The Maikmi Beimin Benav Shayu, the Minim, these troublemakers, would apply to themselves the Pasuk that Shmuel used to call out to Hashem and request to have Hashem give him the extra, you know, last powers to pull down the pillars, knock down the stadium, and destroy the Plishtim there, together with himself, despite the fact that it's going to cost him his own life. Tomus Nafshim Plishtim, this was done to protect the Jews, to protect Klal Yisrael from the Plishtim at the time. So the renegades over here are so bound to, so motivated to get back at Chachamim, such as Rabbi Avo, who they perceived as a threat, that he was even willing to jeopardize his whole parnassah, his whole career, just to get back as Rabbi Avo. But typically it's not an issue if the healer, if the roife, is considered a roife mumcha. Amar Shmuel. Okay, we know that Shmuel was actually an expert doctor. So here comes some remedies from Shmuel. And by the way, we're going to have a long piece here of many... whole Gemara with many different refuahs and remedies for various conditions, and the Mefarshim bring that it was really a cherem. They made a ban. The Chachamim disallowed the use of these remedies because throughout the years the teva changed, people's nature, sort of changed, and many of these refuahs that were applicable and effective in the time of the Gemara and Chazal no longer effective today. So lest a person, you know, come to cast doubt on the effectiveness of these remedies, we're not meant to engage in these at all. But nevertheless, it's Torah. Torah hi v'lul moed anitzarech. Amar Shmuel, hai padat. So if one chas v'shalom was wounded by a sword, it can get infected, it can deteriorate. Sakanti, he's in true danger. U'mechalonais ha-Shabbos, which justifies chilul Shabbos, to heal it. Maya susas, what is the remedy prescribed for this type of condition? L'mifsek dama, to halt the bleeding. Tachli arkres, b'chala, with some vinegar. And you have a drink, make a l'chaim. Lasuke, to try to get the skin to start healing again. So you take garda is the root scrapings, the yavla of this grass called yavla, the girda, and the scrapings of the asna of the bush called a sneh. We know the sneh from Moshe Rabbeinu. Oy, another option is nikra. He takes these snails, he ingests some snails, mikil kalta, that roam around the garbage dumps. Amar Rav Safra, hai invata. Person has this bloat, this skin boil, large skin boil, which can come in many colors. It can come in black, and so this type of growth can be really dangerous. Parvanka, he's a messenger, the malacha de moisa, of the death, the angel of death, malacha mavis. He basically, it could be the forerunner of a dangerous situation. You got to treat it right away. Maya susa. So what's the solution? Tigna beduvsha. Tigna is a certain grass or plant. Beduvsha, ground together with honey. Or another option is karpasa, a vegetable called karpas. Betilia, with some very strong wine. And that's what he drinks. Adahachi vahachi. In the meantime, so you get around to the find these ingredients. What do you do in the meantime to protect him? Lysi, get a hold of invasa, one grape. bas mina, the same size as this pimple, as this boil. And you rub it over the boil. Chivras, you find a lighter grape, like a light green grape. The chivrasi, if it's a light colored boil. Luchmasi, a black grape. Luchmasi for a black boil. So if it's a light boil, you use the green grape, otherwise a black grape. And that's done in the interim until you get a hold of those exotic ingredients, which you will serve him. And hopefully heal his wound. Amar Rava, hai simta. Simta is some sort of bloating, skin bloating condition. Once again, it's a very dangerous sign. Parvanka, it's a sign of de'eshasa, of de'eshtahi, of some strong fever coming in its wake. Maya susa, so what's the solution? What's the medicine for this? L'mechaye, you should strike at this skin area, this bloating area, shisin, 60 times iskutli. Rashi says, you take your thumb with the next finger and you sort of flick it with your nail 60 times. That's just sort of subside the swelling. And then you rip open this bloat vertically and horizontally, both ways. Now, this is only a concern when the pimple hasn't yet, the tip of it hasn't yet whitened. But if you see the tip whitening, then you know it's on its way down. Listen, there's no concern. Apparently, it's drying up and the pus is on its way out. Rabbi Yaakov, what happened to him? Chash Befika, he was experiencing hemorrhoids. Eirilei, so he was instructed by Rabbi Ami, and some say by Rabbi Asi. Rabbi Asi was the one who prescribed it to him. What was the solution to this? Lacey Shev, he should get a hold of seven bini. Bini is the pits. Ahala, of a plant called Ahal, which is used for detergent purposes. Toilana, red ones. Vitzarele, and he should tie them together. B'chalala de Savur. So that's like a collar that goes around the neck. So you should pull off a piece of the material that in the garment which surrounds the neck. So he wraps the seven beans inside this material. And then he ties it up. And he ties it around with a nira, a strand of barka, animal hair. He takes this whole concoction, dips it into tree sap, chivra, white tree sap, and then he burns it, and takes the ashes and applies it to the problematic area. While he's putting this all together, what do you do in the meantime for protection? You should bring the pit, the asna of the snebush, which has a sort of the pit has like a seam, like a pit of a date, right? It has like a seam. So leinach pika, you should put the seam lahadi pika over the crack in the skin. Vahanemila pika ilo, but this is only good for an external hemorrhoid. Pika tato, but if it's internal, you can't access it. My, what do you do then? Lysi tarbet tzeferet. He brings the fats of a tzeferet of a goat after which never gave birth. Takes that fat and liquefies it, belivshar, right? He puts it near a fire and he liquefies it. L'shadibe, and he applies it there, hoping that it'll be absorbed into his body and provide a solution. V'loi, another alternative is as follows. Laisi tlas tarfa, she got a hold of three leaves, kara of a pumpkin, the miyafshe betula, which had been dried up in the shade, v'likli, and burned them up, l'vadar liyo, and placed it on his area. V'loi, another option is Lacey Meshkadi Chalzuni, a certain type of snail, and burn it and apply the remnants to the area. Biloy. Otherwise, another option is Maisi Meshach. He gets a hold of olive oil, kira with wax, mixes them up, and places it on the area. Vilinkit. Now you should be careful when he does this to get himself dressed properly. Meshachki. Clothing of linen, the kitna, bekaita in the summer, to ensure that it doesn't get too overheated. But the amar gufna and or made of cotton, besisfa in the winter time again, to be careful, so that he doesn't get too cool. So to keep him warm enough for the remedy to work. Rabbi Avo chash beudne. Oh, now we shift to earaches. Rabbi Avo had an ear condition. Oidrilei Rabbi Yechanan. So Rabbi Yechanan instructed him as follows. Rabbi, some say it was Beit Midrash, it was the students in the Beit Midrash. My Oidrilei, so what did they tell him to do? Kyodam Rabbi said, Amrli Eim, my foster mother explained to me, Le'ivr Kol Yesa, the reason why kidneys, animal kidneys were created, Hashem made it only to provide remedy for ear conditions. El Udna. Okay, so how do we go about it? Vamar Rava, says Rava, Amrli Menyume, that was his name, Asya, he was a doctor. So he told me like this, Kulu Shikiyani, all liquid extractions are actually harmful if they're applied to one's ear. Kashul Udna, except for one extraction from the kidneys. Lavar, except Mimaya, the extraction of Kulyasa of the kidneys, and that could be beneficial for one's ear. And that, in fact, was the potion prescribed to Rabbi Avo. So how do you go about producing this medicine? Laisi, you get a hold of kol yosa, a kidney, devarcha, of a goat, karcha, bald goat, that's the way you call a goat, because he's not as laden with wool like a sheep. So basically it means a goat. And you rip it in both ways, of the kray shesivir, we take the kidney, you rip it in both directions, shesivir, Velinach amilla denura. You place onto whispering coals, and then the extraction that drips out, v'hanu maya, the water, the nafkimina, comes out. That's your medicine. Lishdinu beudne, put into the air. Lekriri, make sure it's not too cold. Lechamim yotu hot, el pshuri, somewhere in the middle. V'loi, if this is not an option, what else can you do? Laisi tarba, you should get the chela, fat, the chipushta glamlonisa, from a large insect, of chipushis, for the fasher, melt it down, and place it in the air. Viloy, otherwise, what's the next option? Lumlayi l'udne mishra, fill the air with oil, for the avid, and you should prepare for himself shav, 7 psilta, stalks, asfasta, of this grass called asfasta, typically asfasta is a reference to unripe wheat. So it's still in its green grass state. He takes 7 of those. Velaisi shafina de tuma, he brings a handle of the garlic, basically means the dry leaves on top of the garlic bunch. So he takes those leaves and those leaves. Velaisi barka v'chadresha, and he should place this animal hair strand at one side of this bunch of grass, velislu bunura, and light a fire right there, v'idach resh, on the other side of the grass and the stalks, moisva beudna, he place into his ear, v'leisiv udna ladanura, he should also lean his ear to the fire, v'izdar mizika, and guard from any breeze, any wind, which might actually harm him. And he does this one stalk at a time, so he sticks one stalk into his ear until it burns up, and then next stalk. V'nishkol chad, he takes one stalk out, v'nana chad, and he places the other one until he's done all 7 stalks. L'shnachrin, another option is, another version of the same option, v'loi. If he doesn't have the previous, the thing with the fat, the thing, l'aisi shav psilta bikra, he should get a hold of 7 strands of braided animal hair. So instead of the 7 stalks of asfasta, he has the 7 strands. V'shayif le'mishchad asfasta, and he smears them with asfasta extract. V'nayis echad v'esha benura, and he takes this bunch, lights one side with a fire. V'chad v'esha be'udna, the other side in his ear, and does it one at a time, in and out of the ear. V'lishkel chad v'nachad, he takes one out, puts the other one in. Perhaps when it burns up, he takes the other one, puts it in, until he's done all 7, v'izda mizika, and again, watch for many breezes. V'loy. If this is not available, what else can he do? Laisi udna denodo, udra denodo. So he takes an udra, which is basically like a ball of some sort of ball of either cotton or denada, which has been colored, dyed blue, dlema shakiv, which hadn't yet been combed, so it's unprocessed fibers, V'nanachbo, and placed this cotton ball, or this ball of wool, into his ear, and then bring your ear close to the fire, umizdar mizika, and again, watch from any breezes. Biloy. Another option would be Laisi Gufsa de Kanye gets a hold of a real ancient piece of reed, right? A hollow piece of reed. The Artika Bar Meoshnin, 100 years old. Out of the museum, huh? Velimlechei. And he salts it, milcha, with salt, but not regular salt. Gilalonisa, rock salt. Velikley. And he burns them up and takes the ashes. Lidbeck and places it into the ear. You see, manach. Now, some of these ear remedies actually work only if the problem is excess moisture in the ear. Some of them might have a drying effect to counteract an overly moist ear. Some of them are just the opposite. They're more of the moist variety, and they're meant to serve as an antidote for a dry ear. So you got to be careful. Make sure to use the right remedy for the right condition. Retiva. We see enough to remember which one works for what. Retiva. The more of the moist type of remedies, the one that has the oil and all that. Liabeshta, it's meant to counteract a dry ear. Liabeshta, the ones that are more of the drying variety. The retiva, that's meant to counteract one who is suffering from moist ears. Omar Rabba Bar Zutra, Omar Vyechna, Malin Oznaim B'Shabbos. One can relocate a dislocated ear, so to speak. Rashi says the Gidei Oznaim, there are these tendons around the ear, which sort of fell out of place, they dropped. You can push it back into place, even on Shabbos, because it's a Sakonas Nefashos. It's deemed to be a life-threatening situation. Tani Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. So he explained. You see, there are two ways of doing it. You can do it manually, just pushing it up, or with some sort of, medicine. But yeah, he says you have to do it by hand, avaloi besab, but not using a medicine, because as we learned, there's an isad rabbanon to, you're meant to avoid using medicines if at all possible, because it can come to doing a malacha, preparing, grinding the material. So, better do it manually than using an actual medicine. Ikad amri, some had a different opinion. Just the opposite, b'sam. You meant to use sam, avalei b'yad, not manually. My time, you know why? Mizra zara, because it can exacerbate the situation. If you do it manually, you might push it out of place and actually cause, internal bleeding, whatever, which is considered a malacha, right? So if you can use some sort of concoction, which is only asa midrabanan, right? Lest it come to a malacha, right? But technically, it's only a Siddur Rabbanan. So that's preferred over doing it by hand, which might actually involve a Malacha D'Oraisa if it causes a bleed and all that. What about an eye issue? Ayin Shem Marda, an eye which is popping out. Mutu L'Kochla B'Shabbos. You can apply some sort of Kochel, some sort of medicine into the eye on Shabbos to save it. Sover Mina. So those listening to the Halacha figured, Hani Mili. That's only true who, if the shachki, the shrike, samana mi esmo, the samana of the components for this medicine were already prepared, ground up yesterday. So again, the malacha was already done yesterday before Shabbos, and now it's just an isur d'rabbanan. Here, if his eyesight's in danger of losing his re'iyah, so it's allowed. Because the gzera was not applied in this type of serious situation. Aval mishchak b'Shabbos, but to actually make this powder on Shabbos itself, which is a malacha d'oraisa of toichen, right? Or to carry the medicine through the street, which again is a malacha of carrying on Shabbos. An outright malacha would not be allowed. It's not deemed important enough. It's not really life-threatening. Vila suye derech shirab loy, that wouldn't be allowed. That's what they figured. So one of the Chachamim, whose name was Rabbi Yaakov, clarified. He says, no, I heard this interpretation of Rabbi Yehuda, that in fact, this is deemed to be serious enough to even allow a malacha to be done on Shabbos for its sake. Even though it's merely the eye in danger, because the eye is connected to the internals, it can really cause big problems. Afilu mishchak, the Shabbos, even to prepare, to grind, v'asui de'achris rama carried through the street is also mut. Here comes a story about Rav Yehuda. Shara l'mikchal ena b'Shabbos. He allowed the application of this eye medicine on Shabbos. Amalu Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda. So Rav Shmuel wasn't very happy. So he says, man zayis l'Yehuda, whoever implements Rav Yehuda's heter, machal l'Shabbos, should know that he's desecrating Shabbos. It's not allowed. Turns out, l'soif, chash b'eini, Shmuel himself personally experienced this type of eye illness, and he needed immediate treatment. Shalach, and was on Shabbos. Shalach leis, Rabbi Shmuel bar Yehuda sent an urgent message to Rabbi Yehuda with a shayla. Shari, is it allowed? Are you also or not allowed? Shalach leis, he responded, well, for everybody it's okay, but not for you, because you said it's no good. Lukuli alma shari, everybody's allowed to do this, to engage in this type of refuah on Shabbos because of its seriousness, but you? You have already ruled that it's prohibited. And he continued, he said, you know, you think it's personal? You think it was my invention? When I permitted it, you think it was my chiddush? It came from Mar Shmuel. In fact, there was a story. There was this maidservant who worked in the house of Mar Shmuel, Davabe Mar Shmuel. Her eye was in trouble on Shabbos, right? It heated up, it was bloated, it was swelling, safcha, and she was calling out in agony, nobody was able to pay attention, meaning to say nobody was able to treat it. It was on Shabbos. Pokein, it turns out that her eye burst and she was blinded in that eye. So now, Mar Shmuel realized the seriousness of it, and Lamacha, the next day, Nafak, Mar Shmuel Vador, she went out and he publicized to all, to here, Ein Shemarda Muto Lekechel B'Shabbos. Going forward, you should know it's a serious situation. And in fact, if it happens, you could be Mechal Shabbos for its sake. My time, why is this considered so serious? So important enough to Mechal Shabbos? It's just the eye. I mean, it's serious, but it's not, you know, Pekuach Nefesh. The answer is no. The eyesight, the Ein of the eye, is connected to the flaps of the heart, so to speak. It's an expression that means to say that it can have a ripple effect on the entire body. Bu'uvanta, the libo, on the flaps of the heart, tolu, it's connected. So the eyesight is connected to the heart. Basically, don't play games with the eyes. Kigoyimai. Now, every eye ailment is considered critical. Kigoyimai, for instance, what? So you have to know which one's there, which one's not. Amar Yehuda Kigoyimriro. For instance, if his eye is constantly dripping, oiditza, dripping with pus or whatever, ditsa, there's a sharp pain in his eye, dama, there's blood in his eye, edemasa, it's constantly dripping tears, kidcha, demasa, the kidcha, or the there's a fever in the eye, provided utchilas uchla, that he's experiencing it at the beginning of this illness, means the same. It's just getting, you know, just starting and getting more serious. Lafuk, as opposed to saif uchla. Suppose it's already passed. It's winding down. He's recovering. And it's just hurting him a little bit. There's some, you know, leftovers. That wouldn't justify chilul Shabbos. Apparently, it's on its way yet. Or ufetzuchayena. If he just wants to sharpen his eyesight, he throws in a little koil. Deloy, that wouldn't be allowed on Shabbos. That's not deemed sakana. Okay, on the topic of antidotes and medicines, Amar Yehuda, a zibura, if one was bitten by a hornet, v'decharze silva, one had a serious splinter enter his body, v'simta, or that was the skin bloating condition, we had an amar aleph on the bottom, v'simta, v'decharze le'ena, his eyes hurting him, or he's starting to experience this type of fever sickness. Kulu Beibani, Sakanda, you should know all these people who are experiencing this type of thing. Stay away from the Beibani, from the Beis HaMerachas, from the bathhouse. It is a Sakona, Sakant. Now, a person experiencing the Chama, this fever's condition, what should he, what's the antidote? Chama. Chama is a radish which has a cooling effect. That's a proper antidote. L'chama, this fellow who's experiencing excess heat. The silka, beets, litzina, to a person who's experiencing a chill, so the warm beets will warm him up. The chilufa sakant, if you switch it around, it can be very dangerous. Right? Gotta make sure it's the right antidote. Chamimi la'akra, one who was struck by a scorpion, which interestingly enough, the bite is considered like a cold bite, has a cooling effect. So you have to soak it in hot water. Chamimi la'akra. Ukriri, just the opposite. Soak it in cold water, lizibura. If you're struck by a hornet, which has a heating effect, if you switch it, it can be dangerous. Chamimi lisilva. So the antidote to the deep splinter is chamimi, hot water. So soak it in hot water. Kriri lechaspanisa, one is experiencing some sort of facial cracking of the skin, that's chaspanisa. So wash his face with cold water. If you switch it, it can be dangerous. Chala lisibure. Sibure is drawing of blood from one's shoulders. Okay, so one who experienced the blood draw, the hakazas adam, he should be given chala. He should be given some vinegar to drink, and that will help him recover. Umunaini, and the small fish, l'tanisa, should be served to one who had fasted. V'chlu v'sakant, if you switch it, it could be dangerous. Tachle v'sibura. Tachle are the crests. V'sipura. And then he goes and he allows himself to draw blood. Sakanta, that combination can be lethal. V'ishas v'sibura sakanta. Likewise, if he's experiencing this fever, and he goes and he does the hakadas hadam, that could be dangerous. Likewise, if he does the bloodletting with an eye ache, again, that can bring sakana. Sheni ledug dam. Okay, a person who does the hakazas hadam, the next day, which means sheni, the second day, the next day, if he did it on Monday, Tuesday, the next day, he should have some fish. Sorry, that's the next one. Sheni ledug dam. He should have the dam taken from him on the second day following his consumption of fish. So eating fish the day prior to Hakadah Adam serves as a good preparation for the Hakadah Adam procedure. And the same thing the other way. Sheni Ladam Dag, the day after his blood was drawn, he should have some fish that will help him recover and replenish his supply. Shlishi Lele Sakanta. Ironically, it's only good the day after the Hakadah Adam. But on the third day, if he has his fish, that could put him in danger. Tan Rabban, we learned in the Brayis, make his dam. If one had his blood, removed, lo yechal, he should not engage, he should not consume the following materials. Chag vash, it stands for lo yechalav, not milk, lo yegvina, nor cheese, lo yebetzalav, nor onions, lo yechachlaim, or cress, because it can endanger him. Im achal, let's say he did have one of these foods, what could he quickly do to reverse the effect? Amar Abaye, neisi revias adachal, he should get a hold of a revias of vinegar, revias of the chamra, and revias of wine, mix them up, make a lachayim. V'na revinu, but adad, mix them up, and ishtan drink. V'chim afana, now when he tends to his personal needs after eating this, because of the intense odor, you should be careful not to do it in close proximity to the town. Loim afana, you should be careful not to do so, ella, only to the east of the city. The mizrach shalir, as opposed to the other side, for instance, the western side, because of the difficult, intense odor, which will waft into the city with the westerly breeze, which is a strong breeze. So you want to keep away from the west side, rather stick to the east. Okay, let's do a quick chazar of today's daf. We started with the halacha of not availing oneself to a geisha doctor for concern of the patient's safety. What type of treatment would that apply to? So according to today's Gemara, it's only something which is considered a serious type of treatment, something which is life-threatening. Some say the rule as well, if it's something which justifies Chilul Shabbos, that's deemed life-threatening. Likewise, you wouldn't have a guy do it. Or according to the other opinion, it depends if it's internal or external. We had a story of, we asked the Shaila regarding a tooth condition. The conclusion was that certainly the Tzavdina condition, which can have a ripple effect on the entire body, is considered critical and life-threatening, and would even justify doing a refuah on Shabbos, as per the story of Rabbi Yechonah with the Matronisa, who sort of squeezed the formula out of her and then publicized it for the benefit of all. Now, although it was a serious condition, he trusted this doctor because she was a Reife Mumcha, somebody with a reputation to protect. Then we went on to all different types of ailments and conditions and illnesses, discussed their various remedies, medicines, and antidotes, all the way to the story of the eye fever, which was deemed to be deemed dangerous as per the story of the maidservant by Maharsha Shmuel, and justified even malacha done for its sake on Shabbos. And we went on to different items here, including Hakazas Adam, which was something very common and prevalent in those days, how to prepare for it, and how to recover from it as well. All the best to you, and Aslacha Rabbah.